Hello and welcome to this episode of Stats, the podcast where we share the accomplishments of the Department of Surgery at Baylor Scott & White Medical Center in Temple, Texas. I'm your host, Dr. Lonnie Gentry. The Stats podcast is sponsored by Dr. Harry Papaconstantino, the Glenn E. and Rita K. Roney Chair and Professor of the Department of Surgery. For this episode, we discuss the article, Enhancing Ad Hoc Team Performance with Emotional Intelligence. This article appears in the May 2025 edition of Baylor University Medical Center Proceedings, the peer-reviewed journal of Baylor Scott & White Health. My guest today, Dr. Bobby Ann Adair-White, is the corresponding author for the article. Information about the article can be found in the show notes. Dr. Adair-White is an educator, coach, and scholar specializing in emotional intelligence, conflict management, leadership, and health professions education. She has a master's degree in industrial and organizational psychology and a doctorate in educational leadership. Dr. Adair-White serves as a professor at Massachusetts General Hospital's Institute of Health Professions, where she teaches and conducts research in health professions education. She is also a leadership coach and a faculty member in the Department of Surgery at Baylor Scott & White Health, Temple, and Baylor College of Medicine. Dr. White, thanks for joining us today to talk about your article.
Oh, Lonnie, it's so great to see you. I wish everybody could see your smiling face in person. I am so happy to be here.
It's good to see you too.
Your article is about ad hoc teams in healthcare systems. How do you define an ad hoc team in healthcare?
So in our article, we use the same definition that we had in a previous article, and we used one specifically around like ad hoc teams in medicine. So what it is it's a potentially diverse group of healthcare professionals. And they form a short-lived team with the purpose of addressing a specific problem or goal.
What healthcare systems tend to benefit the most from ad hoc teams and why?
So, interestingly, I would say that larger healthcare systems benefit from them. Whenever you have a smaller group, of course, it's going to be a continuous team. And so it's really important to be able to adjust when you have large groups that are coming together. So some of the clinical spaces where you would have those types of teams are whenever you're on a resuscitation team in critical care. Interestingly, one of our authors is from critical care. So of course, that's why he would be interested in that space. Trauma teams is another space where you would want to have some expertise in how to work with ad hoc teams. And then another author on our article is from a trauma team. So that really makes sense too. But they're all coming together to really address a specific issue, right? Resuscitation, trauma, things that come together.
What are the potential weaknesses of ad hoc teams?
So we talk about these specifically in the article just a bit. And as someone who studies best practices in teams, there are several. If you look at best practices literature, most of the recommendations are around building trust, building psychological safety, building a collaborative culture. And these things are built over time, even if it's in a small incremental way, but they do take time. And so ad hoc teams don't inherently have the benefit of spending that time together. They don't get the opportunity to build that relationship rapport, which makes it quite difficult to build effective teams. It really makes it difficult to build that imperative, intentional aspect. And so you have to spend time. You have to really think about, how do I build those relationships with people that I'm not going to work with all the time? Think about those things and then do them so you can deliver good care together.
Are there steps that you would recommend for addressing these weaknesses?
Yeah. So because ad hoc teams are unpredictable and it's quite difficult to develop them when you can't predict your teammates, we proposed that individuals develop their own emotional intelligence. And for those that study group emotional intelligence, you're already probably saying to yourself, but a group of emotionally intelligent people does not necessarily constitute an emotionally intelligent team. And you're correct. The literature does say that. And so I'll say yes. Now, in a recent meeting, a meeting that I'm involved with, the Consortium for Emotional Intelligence Research and Organizations, there was a keynote who delivered a really great session. Her name's Vanessa Dreskett, and she is an expert whenever it comes to teams and emotional intelligence. And one of the things that she talked about specifically was how culture and norms are the largest factor in whether or not people will have an emotionally intelligent response to something, whether or not the group will respond in an emotionally intelligent way. unfortunately, much of her research is in the space of fixed teams. So we need to do some work in this ad hoc area.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned emotional intelligence, or EI. Can you define emotional intelligence for us and tell us the four domains of EI?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I probably should have started with that. Sorry about that. In the simplest terms, emotional intelligence includes four domains. So self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. If you're following Richard Boyatzi's model, then each domain also includes competencies. So for example, under self-awareness, competencies include emotional self-awareness, accurate self-assessment, self-confidence, while the self-management domain would include emotional self-control, transparency, adaptability, achievement, initiative, and optimism. And then social awareness includes empathy, organizational awareness, service, and relationship management. The final one includes things like conflict management, teamwork, and collaboration. So I'm sure you're starting to hear that these competencies are absolutely helpful in ad hoc teams. Everybody needs to know conflict management in a team, right?
Definitely.
So they're super helpful for anything. Interestingly, I deliver lectures in these topics, and people at the end of the session, they usually deduce, oh, this is really interesting for my life. I need these things for my life. So ad hoc teams, it seems to make sense.
It does seem to make sense. So can you go more in depth into each of these domains?
Yeah. So in our article, you'll notice two of our authors were clinicians, Britt Lynn, who's trauma anesthesia, and then Alex, who's critical care. And they really ensured that we had specific clinical examples to illustrate what we meant by how EI can help in ad hoc teams. So often we give you definitions, but we don't actually apply it. And in our space, application's important, right?
It is.
That's why we like medicine. So for self-awareness, we really highlighted the July transition of moving from being a junior on a team to finding yourself in a new relationship or new leadership role, and the importance of being fully aware of how you are feeling about this transition. So are you nervous? Are you working through some of those imposter feelings that people get? And really, how are those feelings impacting or manifesting you in your role and the team too? Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are your strengths? Will you know when you need to ask for help? Those are all really key things when it comes to self-awareness in that space. As far as self-management, I'm actually going to read this one directly from the article because I really liked how the author team articulated it. Mike, Alex, Britlin, and I spent a lot of time getting our wording just right. So the example from the article specifically reads, if an anesthesia attending is in the OR and their patient acutely desaturates in the middle of the surgery, how they manage their response and emotions are key, both for team dynamics and patient safety. Instead of shouting at the resident to grab airway equipment and working feverishly behind the drapes to identify the problem while the resident of the OR team goes on operating, they could manage and channel their emotions into communicating with the entire room. Mm-hmm. Right? So really clear example. And then for social awareness, a quick way to say this is read the room.
Okay.
Right? So read the room, people. Some are better at reading the room than others. You know, the culture, the climate. So if you're not good at that, it's okay to be super humble and ask, is now a good time to discuss this pending case? Mm-hmm. Just ask. I think a lot of people are afraid to ask. They think they have to know the answer. And so whenever it comes to social awareness, if you're not good at reading the emotions and the culture in the room, ask people what's appropriate. And then the last one, the relationship management aspect. The biggest thing we need to stop pretending is that we are robots and that we can see things objectively. We can't. Right? It's been proven time and time again that relationships and rapport make a difference. So if somebody you respect and have a relationship with, they make a mistake, you're much more likely to have a positive story or at least a grace-filled story about why they behave the way that they did. Whereas if you don't know someone and they behave like a jerk, or even if they're just quiet, your story about them will most likely be painted more negatively. So we're humans. We make sense of the world around us. And in that sense-making, we tell ourselves stories. one of the best ways to minimize the negative stories is to have a relationship or at least rapport with someone. Now, we're talking about ad hoc teams. Building extensive rapport is difficult. How do you do that in that space? And we need to remind people that it doesn't have to be extensive. It can be something as simple as saying hello, acknowledging people, asking people how their day was. I anticipate that most of our listening audience is probably a clinician-based audience. And so I liken this to the beginning of a clinical encounter. Those encounters include some sort of rapport building. Your ad hoc teams need those too. Mm-hmm. People need to feel like they're human.
So easily to forget. Mm-hmm. Do you have other recommendations for developing individual EI and potential ad hoc team members?
Yeah, this is a great question. And there are loads of resources out there and so much about how to build individual emotional intelligence. So consider checking those out. If you need some information, give me a call. I'm sure you can find me. But some of the things you'll want to work on are naming emotions and making sure that your assessment of yourself is accurate. Often we think we know, but we don't necessarily know. So spend some time understanding your responses to people. Gather information about how others perceive you and spend some time being intentional about relationship and rapport building. I teach a class called Leading Teams with Emotional Intelligence, and one of the assignments that I require is a small qualitative analysis. Basically, it's interviewing people that know you. They interview about 10 people, and then they have to look for themes. Those people tell them about how they're presenting in a way of emotional intelligence, how they present in leadership. And it's interesting because the students are really stressed about it at first. How many people do I have to get? And, I don't want to ask people for their time. And then in the end, they figure out it doesn't take as much time as you think. And they learn a lot out of it. It's probably the most priceless thing that they come away with that class. So the other thing to think about is, according to the literature, the best way to change behaviors hasn't been through professional development necessarily, but instead through coaching. So coaching really seems to be one of the best ways to develop these skills. It's definitely the best intervention because it's tailored to the individual and their developmental needs. Now, we've delivered professional development before, and so we know that it's difficult to be everything for everyone in that big classroom environment. Whereas whenever you're coaching, you work on their specific goals. Somebody says, you know what? I think I'm really great at self-awareness. I know I've got some problems, but I don't know how to manage those. It's the self-management component that I need help with. That's where coaching is really helpful.
What areas of research are needed to advance the effectiveness of ad hoc teams?
Oh, I like this one. Great question. Interestingly, our team is working on the next steps and identifying empirical evidence. You know, this article was kind of our thought, our opinion. We don't have evidence for it yet. It just seems like it would make sense. So we're not quite at liberty to say, because we don't have it far enough along to share our full plan, but things are coming. Also, I do know of something else that's under review right now that specifically looks at how simulation can help prepare ad hoc teams. So that'll be interesting to see how that comes along. It might also be in Bumpsy. We'll see. Fingers crossed. They're all quite novel things. There's not a whole lot out there about ad hoc teams. So we're hoping to get some empirical evidence out there and build some really foundational information for people. Fingers crossed.
That sounds exciting. Dr. White, thanks again for joining us, talking about your article.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a great time with you, Lonnie.
Thank you, Bobbianne. That concludes this episode of Stats. Be on the lookout for the next episode of Sharing the Accomplishments of Temple Surgery.